Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Monday morning. And we head to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend, still our friend, Corey Curtis from News 2 to the program, brought to you by Tennessee Men's Clinic. Corey, good morning. Congratulations. How we doing?
I'm good. I watched a 10-minute video of Packer podcasters watching the game last night.
I bet you did.
That was the best 10 minutes maybe of my life, next to my child's birth.
How are we doing this? Like, how would you like me to proceed with the nail painting that now is my responsibility?
How old's your child now?
She's 2.5.
Probably old enough to do it if you want to let her do it.
I think she is. She would probably enjoy that.
Yeah, and I would like her to paint one nail navy and the other orange, alternating.
Okay. So I feel like Robbie should be able to go out there and pick the most elaborate, expensive mani-pedi place in town, and wow, you should foot the bill, Corey, is what I think should happen.
Did the Bears win?
They did.
Yes, but
now you have to pay for it.
I think, let's do this right.
How about we have the Lions pay for it, since they didn't even make the playoffs?
There we go. We may have found something there.
I'm for that. They need to pay for a lot of things. A lot of misery.
Thanks for the OC, by the way.
Yeah, good stuff. Good stuff.
Yeah, he's a real treat. Okay. What a real treat of a human he is.
That's like that handshake at the end of the game.
That was nice. That was the ultimate drive-by. My goodness. So, Corey, on the John Harbaugh front, Russini put it out over the weekend that he's apparently looking at film at Jackson Dart, looking at film with Cam Ward, Albert Breer putting it out there that, the Titans could be a realistic landing spot. Obviously, Harbaugh is not going to interview with every team. He's going to narrow it down here. But what do you make of the idea of him giving serious consideration to the Titans and maybe some interest in Cam Ward on his front?
Well, there were stories about the frustration with Lamar Jackson, which I don't know that either one of them are going to say are true or not, because it doesn't do anyone any good to trash people on the way out the door, whether you're the one who got let go or not. But, he's certainly, there's two young quarterbacks, and, if you think one of them is the stuff, and you think one of them is going to be just like a joy to work with, then that's what you got to find. You don't want to walk into another headache, and you don't really want to walk into another, blank bare cupboard. Okay. You don't want to walk, that's what makes, what's Miami going to do at quarterback? That makes that thing tough there. But you got two teams with two young guys who look like they've got some ability. And if you think they're going to be awesome to work with, you probably think you can work with the rest of it as long as you've got the guy to pull the trigger. So I think it makes sense. You heard the other stuff about costing $20 million a year and wanting roster control. That also could make it problematic. The Titans just spent a lot of money on a stadium. I don't think Borgonzi wants to give up roster control now that he's got all of that to himself. So that also remains to be seen.
Yeah, no, that part of it is absolutely interesting, and it's I get it on the Harbaugh front there, but also it's like you've been a great coach, you've had a lot of success, you've done that with an arrangement that involves a competent front office, right? Working hand in hand.
Yep.
It's like
arguably the best front office in the NFL.
Yeah. So I guess if you're hearing me be like, I don't think anybody else can be as good as these guys, so I want to have that power now. But I thought he might be one of those guys who might be like, I'm a great coach and I just need a good GM and let's go.
Yeah, I mean there are coaches like that.
Yeah.
Who just want to coach. And if you have it, basically they're an extension of your staff, but you obviously don't get to oversee them. But, the thinking might also be, Joe, is there are 8 openings now.
Yeah.
One of these teams is going to give me what I want.
Yeah.
And if not, then he can settle for less.
But why is that? I get it. Like, you don't want to be stuck with a bad GM and who overrules you. And but it's like, are you sure you want that power? Are you sure you want that extra responsibility? That's what always gets me with this.
I get it too, but what do we know about 99% of coaches that they always think they know better and they know everything? And I'm not trying to pick on coaches out there. I love to coach.
Yes, we love the coaches just like they love them in Jacksonville.
Well, oh my gosh, don't get me started on that. but you know, they think they can fix everything. They tend to be egomaniacs. So they tend to, you know, think, hey, I'm going to know. Look, if you want to give them some control over roster cuts, I can see that. But over the guys who come in the door, I really think you need to rely on the people that that's their job, because that's what they spend all their time on, not just some of their time on. And there's only so many hours in the day. And, you know, I always say you have to hire people and let them do their jobs at some point. And, you know, you have personnel people for a reason. It's not a personal affront to your attack. You need to embrace it. This is their jobs, and they need to be good at their jobs. And you know what? If they're bad at their jobs, then they get fired instead of you. You know, you tell the owner, hey, look at the garbage I got in the door here. I can't win with this. Now, I know that's not realistic, but, you know, you set yourself up for double the failure as well as double the success.
So, Corey, where do you come down on the Mike McDaniel front when he will be interviewed by the Titans later this week? How do you feel about the idea of him as head coach?
You know, it's interesting because his record's better than we all think it is, right? Yeah. I mean, he's won more games than we all. I mean, he's been to the playoffs twice. You know, when he had players, you know, when he had Jalen Ramsey and Tyreek Hill and Raheem Mostert, you know, they were winning games even with a guy that we think is kind of a middling quarterback at best in Tua. And I think he can really coach the run game as well. And, you know, this is a season that we thought was just over and the Dolphins were done. And he rallied them to the brink of, you know, getting kind of back in the thing late until they lost a few down the stretch. So he clearly didn't lose the team, even though they fired the GM, things didn't go the way. And, you know, and it looked like he had a foot out the door, which ultimately he did. So I think he did a better job than was expected there. And I do think he's a good offensive mind. I do. I don't know if he is the leader that they're looking for. But I guess what I'm pointing to is I think his leadership skills must be a little bit better than I think. Now, I think he's a peculiar guy without question. And I think that might just be like, okay, love him as our OC. If we had a really strong team with a really strong leadership group, you know, where we're just rolling along, you know, if we're the Dallas Cowboys hiring Barry Switzer, you know, yeah, we could plug him in and just keep going. But I think they need it. They think they need a more rudimentary leadership style at this point. I don't think he's a terrible coach, and I think he's worth talking to.
So basically you think he's a nerd and that nerds can't win in football, and yet Kurt Cignetti and Fernando Mendoza are laughing at that entire idea.
I don't think he's a nerd. I think he's peculiar.
He's definitely peculiar.
Peculiar. That's an interesting. Well, look.
By the way, apparently he was at Disney World yesterday. Did you see the picture of him just riding the merry-go-round out there? That was interesting.
I saw. That was actually like live from.
I think it was real. Yeah.
Well, I said this earlier in the show, Corey, and then I promised that I would find who it was, and then I just didn't do that. But someone who played for him with the Dolphins, gave a pretty impassioned defense, like not defense, but basically like an endorsement of how good of a leader he is and how.
Okay.
He doesn't BS people, and like players appreciate that and all that stuff. I mean, you know, to me, you look at everything, and like you said, when they had better talent, they were better. But also, like, the Tua thing has been pretty brutal. And I feel like even this year, the way they kind of hung in there and kept playing probably speaks well. Right? Like, I'm kind of warming to the idea of
that's the way I am. I'm a little warmer to it than I thought I would be. You know, because I look back on it, they were pretty good, and there was some Super Bowl talk around them for a little while. And you know, if they had better quarterback play, how good would they be? You know, with Nagy too. You know, he only had one losing season in Chicago.
Yeah.
You know, everybody thinks he went 4-12 every year there, but he did not. You know, would he go like 12-4, 8-8, 8-8, and I don't know what the record was last year, 5-11 or whatever it was. You know, people get tired of being average, which I don't blame them. But, I mean, I guess what I'm saying is Nagy wasn't just a total disaster in Chicago. It just wasn't good enough for long enough. And I think, you know, look, when McDaniel's roster changed, his results changed. I think that's the best way to put it.
Corey, on the wild card weekend front, still one game to go tonight. We'll see what happens between Houston and Pittsburgh. But other than your Bears taking down my Packers, what stood out to you the most on wild card weekend this weekend?
That the league is just as up for grabs this year as we thought it was. I mean, this is the best wild card weekend I can ever remember outside of the game last night. I mean, those were four incredible football games where it didn't matter what anyone was seeded. You know, they went back and forth and down to the wire. And, Roger Goodell just had to be just gleeful with what he was seeing. I mean, it's what, you know, with the parity of that the NFL wants, it's what it got. You know, it got four great football games with teams performing at a really high level. And ultimately what we saw, you know, was quarterback play. And we saw a lot of really good quarterback play. But then we saw the difference between the guys who can deliver in crunch time and the guys who didn't. You know, Matt Stafford, you know, delivered for the Rams. Caleb Williams, you know, delivered for the Bears. And, you know, you had Brock Purdy and Juwan Jennings deliver for the 49ers. And, you know, I watched that Eagles game. I go, okay, Jalen Hurts, here's your chance to tell everybody that you're a great quarterback and not just a good quarterback on a great team. And he couldn't do it. He didn't deliver. Trevor Lawrence had a great year. I'm not taking that away from him. But, I mean, 1 minute left, and all you need is a field goal, and you force a pass over the middle into tight coverage. I mean, it's a terrible decision. A terrible decision in a clutch situation. And, you know, so he'll face those questions, and next up is going to be Sam Darnold. You know, Sam's won some bigger games now, but it's the playoffs. It's different. You know, we'll see what he's got and see if he can take, you know, I'm not just saying it because it's the Bears, but I think it was a great statement by Caleb Williams that you make your money in the regular season and you make your legacy in the playoffs. I think it's 100% true. I think it's 100% true. And you saw guys build on legacy and you saw other guys build up on question marks about if they could do it in that moment. Now, it's going to be easier for Hurts because, you know, he just got a ring last year. But, you know, I know they're excited about, you know, this year in Jacksonville, and they absolutely should be. But, you know, Lawrence had a chance to be a hero, and he didn't deliver.
Well, real fast, Corey, you brought up Duvall. So let's go to the postgame presser and just, you know, your because I've been told, you know, it's only self-important journalists who would care. It's an amazing moment. I mean, I don't know that it offended me, but it's just like, it was a cringy eye-roll moment for me. How would you describe it?
Yep. Look, is it the worst thing that ever happened? Of course it's not. But to see Adam Schefter and people laud it as just this wonderful moment and more journalists should be this way, no, they shouldn't. Because you know what the woman did? She made herself the story. And that's not what our job is to do. Everyone is talking about her and what she said and how compassionate she is. And, you know, it's great that she's compassionate and it's wonderful. But you know what you do? After he steps down to the podium, you walk up and you shake his hands and you tell him those things. It's not about putting on a show in front of everybody to say how hurt you are for him, okay? That's a private moment, and you're supposed to be an objective journalist in the room. I know a lot of fans want us to be fans, and we are fans at times, but we successfully separate the two. We do. believe it or not, we successfully separate the two. And it's not, it's just, it's not professional. It's not. And, you know, someone else could have asked a question that they wanted to legitimately ask in that moment. And we all have private correspondences with coaches from time to time where we tell them our feelings on things. But we don't do it in public settings because it's not about us. All right. It's not about us, not about our feelings, not about what we think. We have shows for that. We have talk shows for that. We have sports shows on television for that, where we get to say what we think. But in those public settings, it needs to be professional. And I had a conversation with a younger reporter about this yesterday, and he was on the other side of it, and he, you know, thought I was a stodgy old sportscaster. I'm like, and I'm just trying to teach him the lesson that no, it's not about you. They will respect you for being respectful and professional. That's what they will respect you for, not for kissing their butts, you know, when the time comes. There might be a coach who does that. He's probably in college somewhere. But, you know, mostly, you know, even the Vrabels of the world appreciate when you're respectful and professional with them, you know, whether they act that way or not. They understand it. They understand the job. And that's not the job. It's not the job. And, you know, like I said, am I all bent out of shape about it? No, I am bent out of shape about all the people telling me how we all need to be more like that, because that is not true.
Corey Curtis, brought to you by Tennessee Men's Clinic every Monday morning at 8 o'clock. He is with us on the program. Corey, thank you, and I will keep you updated on how the nail painting goes.
What day
we make this happen?
I'm going to try to do it at some point this week.
You know, if you go to, like, you know,
I got to figure out how to do
below
this.
Or the dollar store, you can buy nail polish really cheap.
Okay.
You don't have to.
That's good to know, because that was going to be my first question.
Corey,
yeah,
fine. I'll find a place and then I'll send you the bill, Corey.
Okay.
Joe, he is a big boy. He made the bet himself. All right.
I just want this to be nice.
Technically, that's not true. I did not make the bet myself, but I did agree to it.
You kind of forced him into the bet. I want it to look nice. I just
did not. I mean, come on. No, you walked into the room and asked me what I wanted to bet.
This came from, this was decided. It's all good. I'll do it.
We had a nice Twitter follower who threw that bet out there, and I liked it. Now, I could have worn a cheese or made him wear a cheese grater instead. That post game was tremendous, by the way.
Yeah, I'm
glad
you enjoyed it.
With the three of them wearing the cheese graters and Caleb grating the cheese on set. That was wonderful.
Ben Johnson acting like a 15-year-old in the locker room.
And I, you know, it was interesting because I am 100% going to be truthful here. I texted Robbie. I'm like, we're going to lose 40-3.
Yeah.
I mean, they were horrible the first half. And, you know, I thought spotting the Packers a 21-3 lead was a nice enough thing to do and would be enough points. But it wasn't enough points. They were so bad in the second half that it wasn't enough points.
Just terrible. Absolutely terrible. Corey, thank you, sir.
I'm going to say one more. You think LaFleur gets fired?
No, he's about to sign an extension, according to Adam Schefter. So.
Are you kidding me?
No.
Wow. That's a tough sell.
Yeah, it is. But apparently they're working on it.
Oh, boy.
Okay. All right. Later.
Thank you. On that note,
good luck to you.
We'll react to what Corey had to say coming up next. Get on the John Harbaugh, Matt LaFleur news front as it relates to the Tennessee Titans, all that ahead. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Monday morning. We are taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. I got some tickets to give away to see the Preds take on the Edmonton Oilers at Bridgestone Arena coming up on Tuesday. Puck drop at 7 o'clock, a bobblehead series night featuring Dierks Bentley. An exclusive giveaway for the first 10,000 fans in attendance. Be caller 7, 615-737-1025. Caller number 7 will win a pair of tickets to see the Preds take on Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, and the Edmonton Oilers. Let's head to our phone line. Welcome in Adam in Portland to the program. Adam, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Dude, I gave up my chance to win Predators tickets just to tell you how sorry I am for you, Robbie.
Well, that's how much you love me. Sorry.
Yeah, no, hey, so that's how I felt at the end of September, how you felt last night, so or whenever the Packers got put. Hey, I thought they had that game for sure, dude. Like, I'm like, the Bears are frauds. And then, I don't know, it hit me the same time probably it hit you, where I'm like, this doesn't look good, Robbie. So, hey, yeah, I was talking to you emotionally the whole game, man, just so you know.
Thank you.
Yeah, so So this is the problem, man. With Harbaugh, I feel like I had no hopes that we were going to get Harbaugh. And with that news breaking that he's watching film, I think Cam looks better than Jackson Dart. Like, Cam didn't have a whole lot of 30-yard passing games, and he didn't have any help. So I think the Titans are right back in it. Am I setting myself up to get my heart broke? Because I feel like I'm going to get my heart broken with it.
Well, that's a great question, Adam. Thank you for the call. I mean, look, when Harbaugh shook loose there, we talked about it on the show. My expectation was that he probably would not consider the Titans very much.
I think you may not have said, but I said 5%,
yeah.
I think.
So
they would interview with him.
Now, he still may not interview with the Titans. So, well, it's important to put that out there. Just because Russini put it out there that he's watching film on Cam Ward does not mean that he's going to interview with the Tennessee Titans. But, as you pointed out earlier, now if you're browsing the openings that are currently available, if you're him, and I guess at this point, it doesn't look like Green Bay is going to be added to that list, right? I mean, we talked about LaFleur earlier in the show, and Schefter put it out there that they are working towards an extension or trying to get an extension done. So doesn't look like LaFleur is going to be fired. So the Green Bay job is not coming open. So if that's the case, you're looking at the Giants, you're looking at the Falcons, you're looking at the Titans, you're looking at the Browns, like all these different jobs that are open right now. And I mean, if you're going by quarterback, right? Like, how are we feeling about Atlanta's quarterback situation right now? I have no idea. Like, is Michael Penix
not super
any good? And can he stay healthy? Yeah, who's going to be the quarterback in Cleveland? Like, are they rolling with Shadur again next year? So, I mean, you know, Dart and Ward makes sense from that standpoint to be pretty attractive. And we've talked about the Giants part of this. Like, you know, I know Neighbors is coming off an ACL, but they do have Malik Neighbors on their roster. They've got some pretty good pieces on the defensive side of the ball. I think their roster is probably a little bit better than the Titans is right now in terms of overall where they are.
Yep.
But, like, if you're Harbaugh and you look at the film and you like what you see from Cam Ward, I took note of that report from Russini the other day. I think it's very interesting to this. And if it ends up to the point where he actually interviews with the Titans, I mean, Joe, wouldn't that tell you that he at least liked what he saw on film from Cam Ward?
It has to. I think it has to mean that. Now, what this does, and, you know, great reporting by Diana, what this does is it sets up an either-or situation. So, yes, if he interviews, that's a big deal for the Titans. I think you have to take it seriously. I know someone texted earlier about the Dumb and Dumber meme, so you're saying there's a chance. But, like, I would have to actually think there's a chance. And, yes, that has to be a commentary on Cam Ward. If he doesn't interview with the Tennessee Titans because of that report, like, that's, to me, that's going to be taken as a negative commentary on Cam Ward. And there are other factors that we all have to keep in mind with something like that. I mean, the ownership is – he's got to be the biggest deterrent for anybody looking at this job. Has to be. You can't do all the things you've done the last few years and not expect for people to notice and not expect to pay for it. But it kind of does set up that this becomes a public referendum on Cam Ward.
And again, like, the quarterback, the bottom line is for the jobs that are available right now, particularly if Green Bay is not going to be available, and Buffalo just won yesterday, and who knows – you know, what's going to happen with Tomlin and Pittsburgh. But even them, like, what's their quarterback situation looking like moving forward? Is Rodgers coming back next year? Like, yeah, so my point is, you know, Arizona, your quarterback is in flux. Cleveland, you have no idea what's going on at quarterback right now. Atlanta, your quarterback can't stay healthy, and there's some injury concerns there. And I get all of a sudden, if you at all like what you see on film from Cam Ward, maybe that's enough to overcome some of this ownership stuff. It's very interesting on the John Harbaugh front to see when that comes at some point, I assume this week, when he narrows down his list and decides who he's going to interview with. If the Titans are on that list, I think Titans fans are going to get very excited
at that point. I think there's a reason to get excited, to hope that he might actually be your coach. But also, again, I respect his opinion. And, I mean, he's won a Super Bowl with Joe Flacco. They drafted, and he totally changed his offense for Lamar Jackson.
Yep.
I trust him as a quarterback evaluator. The guy's been in this league forever. But, your pros list is going to – Amy Anastorian is going to be in the cons list for every single person. Like, it's just a matter of how worried are you about it.
Right.
So I think the obviously if he comes in here, that means Cam Ward has to top the pros list. And Mark Gonzi is probably part of it too, but I would look at it more as a commentary on Cam.
615-737-1025, our phone number. More of your thoughts on John Harbaugh and his potential interest in the Tennessee Titans. We'll get more into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. John Harbaugh, looking at film of Jackson Dart, looking at film of Cam Ward. And then I guess at some point this week we'll see where he wants to narrow down his list in terms of the interviews that he will agree to. So there's the Harbaugh front of this. We've talked about Mike McDaniel earlier in the show in terms of he is interviewing, I think, today with the Browns. The Ravens are on the list there for him as well. You've got the Titans coming up, I think, January the 14th is when Mike McDaniel will be interviewing as a head coach candidate for them. He's also interviewing at some point as an offensive coordinator candidate for the Detroit Lions. So lots of interviews coming up for Mike McDaniel. We went through the Matt LaFleur situation earlier as well. It sounds like that the Packers are trying to work on an extension with Matt LaFleur. So if you were expecting Matt LaFleur to shake free, it doesn't look like that's going to be the case. Now, I guess, Joe, until the contract is agreed to. I mean, that Schefter framed it as the Packers and LaFleur are going to try to work on an extension. So I don't really know what that means.
Yeah. What does that mean? Is it leaving the door open there a little bit?
I don't know.
You hope so. You are hoping against hope.
I am hoping against hope. But, I mean, I don't know why you would put it out there that they're trying to come together on a contract extension if there was, like, any inkling that they were now going to fire him after that. So.
Yeah. I'm trying to think, like, I guess they could lowball him.
And you could, I guess
if you're LaFleur, you could be like, well, I mean, I can go out in the market right now and get 15. What are they paying him? What are the Green Bay Packers paying Matt LaFleur right now?
In their next deal or the one right now?
Yeah, I have no idea. What's he make?
I have no idea.
It's so stupid that we don't know these. This is a big pet peeve I have. But, like, other than – I mean, if you're him, you'd be crazy to not want. Although, look, if you're him, he's been there a while. You know, we talk about the Tomlin thing, right? Like, this could this be more of like a mutual thing a little bit like, you know what? Just Andy Reid, that's always the example. I guess Matt LaFleur could be like, you know what? These Packers fans are out on me. Look at the games I've won. Look at what I've done with Jordan Love. I got another quarterback who might almost be a starter-level guy because of my work, and they all hate me and want me out. I'll go somewhere else and show them. Could that be part of his mindset?
You hope
that too. Oh, gosh. Matt LaFleur, Green Bay Packers, he'll be there till like 20.
I mean, look, I think if you're him, you also – he may feel some of that deep down. Like, I have no idea how – much he looks at social media and how, like, I would assume he understands that with the fan base, his seat's pretty hot right now. I also think, you know, this goes back to the Harbaugh discussion too. It, like, open the Green Bay job and then compare that with the other jobs that are open right now, pretty different in terms of the roster,
yeah.
Right? So, like, if you're LaFleur, like, you may feel some of that deep down. You also look at your roster and you're like, well, I got Jordan Love and I got Micah Parsons. I got all these guys. Like, yeah, I'll figure it out here. And if we start to win, the fan base will turn around.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the right way to look at it. Yeah, that's probably how we will look at it. Oh, someone asked about trading him. How about Chris in Nashville? Could the Packers trade him? How about that?
Oh, Titans? How do you think about that? Good Lord, yes.
What do you think? What would the Titans give for Matt LaFleur?
I don't know.
Jeff Simmons? you'll take that.
I take it.
My Packers get Jeff Simmons, and you Titans get that. Yes.
Says LaFleur here made around $5 million for his initial contract. And got a little bit of an increase in 2022.
Okay.
With his extension, but yeah. Doesn't have a new number.
There you go. It is weird.
5 to, like, 10 range, probably.
Can we not get to the point in the NFL where we just, like, they list out the coaches' salaries in order?
It's a bunch of crap.
I mean, this list on Yahoo that I see has Andy Reid number 1 at 20.
I mean, that would make sense.
Sean Payton number 2 at 18. Tomlin and Harbaugh at 16. McVay 15. Sirianni 15. Shanahan 14, Vrabel 14, Johnson and O'Connell 13.
Okay, so those are numbers way into the high teens and 20s. So LaFleur is at 6 or 7 I mean, if you're Matt LaFleur,
5 to 10 range. Yeah,
I would guess. A lot of this. I mean, how many of those coaches are either number one, super accomplished, or number two, signed deals recently? Like, it's just, this is how. I mean, coaching cycle works just like everything else. Like,
yeah, for sure. But so, okay, so now the Packers are like, and Ed Policy's like, oh God, I'm gonna keep him or not? Wow. And he's like, okay, let's talk, Matt. Okay, we'll do 2 years at 9. And you're LaFleur like, dude, I can go out there and get 15 right now.
Well, maybe.
I'm trying to give you hope here.
Well, look, I'll take it. I'm just saying, like, it's – if it's – it comes down to, like, your roster, right? Like, if you're the Packers, you could say, well, yeah, you probably could go out there and get more. Good luck winning out there with their roster compared to what you've got here, buddy. Like, so, like, I would be very – I mean, I guess that's where the – Trying to come to an extension comes from Schefter.
That's right. Schefter framed it. I mean, I'm assuming someone told him, well, we haven't talked yet, so this is the plan, but who knows? His agent may have something to say about it.
Could be.
I mean, he doesn't have much leverage right now after that game.
He does not.
Like, other than look at all these jobs that are open, and I promise you four of these teams would hire me like snap of the finger.
Well, like – and one thing we also don't know, circling back to Harbaugh, like, was Harbaugh deep down, was he believing slash hoping that either, like, Buffalo would lose over the weekend and that job would come open, or Green Bay, if they lost, they would fire Matt LaFleur and that job comes open? And if those things don't happen, is it possible that Harbaugh looks at the coaching cycle right now and says, you know what? I'm going to hold off a year and then get back into this thing next year. I don't know, but I just wondered deep down, was he really hoping that one of those jobs like the Bills or the Packers came open, and if they didn't, he's going to hold off for a year and then reevaluate next
year? Yeah, it could be. Could be that too, for sure. I mean, he's got a ton of options. Again, I just think it's just really interesting that he really is okay with it being out there that he's going to grind some film on some QBs, you know? I can't remember maybe I'm forgetting something. I can't remember a situation quite like that where it's like, you know, the possibility of an interview basically hinges on, like, this dude watching film of these young QBs.
Yeah.
Can you think of something like that?
No, but, like, this coaching cycle, I don't know that I can really think of something like this.
Yeah.
Like, it's been it's a wild coaching cycle.
It adds to the craziness of the whole thing.
Yeah. And again, what domino falls first here? Like, somebody's going to make a hire, I would assume, relatively quickly. So who's that going to be? I guess, you know, I mentioned it. If you're Arizona, like, I'm going to doubt Arizona is in the mix for John Harbaugh, right?
Yeah.
So as Arizona's trying to figure out, number one, with a roster that's not very good. Number two, with a quarterback situation where it feels like they're moving on from Kyler Murray. You know, it's not a good ownership situation out there either. Like, there's not a whole lot working for the Arizona Cardinals right now. By the way, you play in the NFC West, which is pretty good division last time I checked. So
just take Jeff Hafley.
Well, it's like, so what? You're not going to be in the John Harbaugh mix if you're Arizona, I don't think. So, like, I think are people expecting, like, Harbaugh's going to have to make a decision and then the rest of the coaching cycle will fall together? Maybe, but, like, Arizona, like, they could go hire Chris Shula tomorrow and be like, oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, which I would do, too, like, because the race is on as soon as you hire a coach for that coach to put together a staff.
Exactly.
And it's very competitive with a lot of – so if you get a head start on staff hires, that might be worth doing that. So, yeah, I think you're right. I think we'll see one or two that'll pop before the Harbaugh – thing sets the you know, the
kind
pegs
of order
for everybody. Yeah.
615-737-1025, our phone number. A lot more of your thoughts to get to on the Harbaugh front. We will do that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Gonna be an interesting week around here. You got the Harbaugh stuff. At some point, I would assume that's announced in terms of his interview schedule. In the meantime, Mike McDaniel coming up, Robert Saleh, who, by the way, as I said earlier in the show, nice job from him in that defense yesterday in the Philadelphia game in terms of the job they did slowing down that offense. Now, I understand Philadelphia's got some problems of their own that they need to work out here moving forward, but good stuff from San Francisco in that game yesterday. The coaching search part of this for the Titans, it's very extensive at this point. Interested to see where that all lands. And in the meantime, Joe, we got another game tonight. Texans and Steelers to round out Wild Card Weekend. Will the Steelers be able to score two touchdowns in this game?
Yeah, yeah. Like, I like the Texans, which, based on my powers of picking.
Congratulations, Pittsburgh.
Yeah, go. It's going to be some terrible towels waving in joy tonight. Play that sticks loud on the loudspeaker because I picked the Texans. Steelers going to win.
Could see how it goes. What stood out to you the most on Wild Card Weekend? You have the Patriots taking down the Chargers, so add more layers to the Justin Herbert can't win in the playoffs log that has been thrown out there. You have San Francisco taking down the champs, L.A. in a great game with Carolina. We've talked about Green Bay and Chicago. What kind of stood out to you the most on Wild Card Weekend?
Well, certainly I was impressed with the Patriots. You know, the Herbert thing, I'm giving him a little bit of a pass. I'm giving Herbert a little bit of a pass. He got just bludgeoned last night. Who was it? Were you telling us, Ian, that what they were – oh, or is that you talking about Spillane and their coverages?
Spillane, yeah.
The Vrabel coverages were just so complex.
Yes, but Robert Spillane for the Patriots last night basically said that some Chargers players came up to him after the game and was like, yeah, we had no idea what you guys were doing on defense in the game. Like, at all. Had no clue what coverage you were
in. It definitely looked like the Chargers' O-line injuries kind of caught up with them last week or last night.
Yeah,
sure.
And also maybe Jimmy Harbaugh needs little Connor Stallions to help him out. Big take. I mean, look, the Bears, that win, good for them. The Packers blew it. I don't need to tell you that. That was a collapse. It was a collapse more than it was anything else. And so good for the Bears. Enjoy your week here. You're still not very good. The Eagles, that's a really interesting situation, right?
Yeah.
Like, is this it for A.J. Brown? Is Jalen Hurts, who, again, was fantastic winning a Super Bowl last year. I think the OC is a problem for them. I see, like, it just seems like they don't take advantage of the whole field and they couldn't run the ball this year. And I think it's an OC thing with them, which they seem to be kind of, you know, going up and down. But there's a lot of ways that could go. And good for Jacksonville, good season. But I think that Josh Allen and the Bills, it's right there for them. It's right in front of them, man. It's right in front of them. If you're a Bills fan, maybe you don't love the idea that your team, you're going to have to win two more road games.
Yep.
So you're going to have to go to Denver, and then you're going to have to either go to, New England, Houston, or Pittsburgh to win an AFC championship game. I like their chances. I think we're going to see Buffalo in the Super Bowl. I do. So, again, congratulations to anybody playing Buffalo.
Congratulations, Broncos.
They're about to lose.
Yeah,
that's a huge game. Fascinating game. Broncos, great defense. Bo Nix is a tough, gritty quarterback. Josh Allen's got to go in there and win, right?
Yeah. I mean, you would think so. But, I mean, again, that's a darn good defense they're getting ready to go play. It's on the very short list of best defenses in the NFL that they're getting ready to go play on the road. So, we'll see. I mean, that game to me is going to be fascinating. I'm interested to see how Seattle handles things next week because you've got the Rams still alive. The Niners just won last night. I mean, clearly that division is an absolute juggernaut when you're talking about the NFC West.
Yeah, man. It's the NFC West and the frauds left in the NFC. You have the final four. You got the three great NFC West teams and the frauds. But are the Niners now – and I know Kittle's missed a lot of this year already. It just sucks for him. Is it get to be too much for them? I kind of feel like Seattle might just roll against
them. At some point, the injuries matter, man. Like, when you're missing big-time players, injuries matter. And it's tough to see anyone go down with a torn Achilles in the playoff. Just brutal for him yesterday. So, yeah, I mean, I am – you know, the Patriots – like I said, the winner of this game tonight has to go to Foxborough. I like the Patriots against either one of those teams. I do. Like, I think Vrabel may, in his first year, wind up in the AFC title game.
I think we're going to be looking at Bills Patriots, which would be a hell of an AFC title game. And it's just like, we know the Patriots already won there once, or the Bills already won there once. Patriots won at Buffalo.
Yeah, road teams have won the.
The road teams won the two games. I like the Patriots. I think we're going to be talking about them a lot in years to come. This is Josh Allen's year to get them and to get to the Super Bowl.
I am predicting Denver, New England for the AFC title game.
Really?
Yeah.
Such a hater.
I'm just...
Why are you interesting hater? To see.
I think Denver's really good.
Buffalo, short week. Weird scheduling. Jake Lyman and I were just talking about that. Some of the teams coming off playing Sunday and now playing Saturday. Some of the Saturday
I don't know.
That's why TV execs should – there should be someone else with the league saying, I know you want this, but you know what? We have to try to be fair to teams. It's going to be okay.
It's the NFL playoffs. People are going to watch no matter where you put it.
Seriously.
I mean, they played Sunday against Jacksonville and then, you know, Saturday night, Josh Allen banged up. So, short week for Buffalo.
Yep.
Should be interesting to see on that one.
And then, the Panthers almost got him, man. Like, the Panthers, 10.5-point underdogs against the Rams.
At least I got that pick right.
And it looked like they were going to win. I was like, Bryce Young's made a couple throws in this game, pretty good. And then Stafford put it together on that last drive.
I think I was, we were looking for the, doing some research last week about spreads and all that, we came up with the Beastquake as a underdog. I think I saw like a stat, double-digit underdog home teams against the spread are pretty good. So some research lucked out for me on that one.
Yeah, they absolutely could have won the game. Yeah, good for them, but good for the Rams to get through that. And I think, unless the weather is so bad that you can't throw the ball, I have no idea what it's looking like in Chicago. I think we're looking at Rams, Seahawks, and they've had some bangers too.
Yeah.
Broncos, Patriots. It would be Patriots at Denver.
That is correct.
I don't know, man. I can't believe that either of them is ready to be in a Super Bowl.
Denver's good.
Yeah. They are. Well, New England is too.
Yeah.
It's just like
Josh Allen.
It happens so fast in this league.
He'll be the best player on the field again.
He will.
And it worked out to their favor this week against Duval.
It did. We'll see how it goes. We'll keep you updated all day long here on the latest on the Titans coaching search news. That's going to do it for us today here on the program. Hope everyone has a wonderful rest of their day. Next Man Up with Jake Lyman coming up next. You're listening to 102.5 The Game.